Good morning. Thank the Lord for being saved and appreciate every person that's here today. And as we said earlier, we appreciate most of all, more than even you being here, even though we appreciate it very much, we appreciate the fact that God meets with us and His Spirit is here. It's our desire to be faithful to the Lord and do what He tells us to do and live the life before mankind that the Lord wants us to live. I want us to turn to Philippians, the fourth chapter, and I want to start reading at about the fourth verse. I want to give a title to this lesson, Think on These Things. I remember as a boy, sometimes, or as I was raising our children, that sometimes they would do certain things, we would do certain things, or they would do certain things, and it didn't turn out quite the way that it should have, or maybe they weren't thinking at all. And so we come to them and we say, what were you thinking? What were you thinking when you did that particular thing? Have you ever said that to your children? Has anyone ever said that to you? Or have you told them to say something on the order of, think, next time you're in this situation, think about what you're doing. And so, you know, one of the problems that we have as human beings in the age and generation that we live in right now is that we don't think very much. As much as we should. Let's put it that way. There are a lot of things about our generation that I don't think any other generation had to contend with. There was no such thing 100 years ago as computers or as cable television or as where people are fed radio. People are fed certain things and they really don't have to think about it. They just take it in and they don't process it to say, you know, whether or not it's true or whether or not it's false. And if you are presented with something long enough that appears to be true and you have experts behind it, you're going to begin to believe certain things that may not be true after all. If you can Google it and it's on internet or it's on Wikipedia, it must be true, right? Well, no, not really. So we read something, we do our own research, and we don't even quite understand what we're reading, but we accept it as being true. What this scripture is telling us is something different. Let's read it before we go any further. Let's go, as we said, Philippians 4, verse 4. Read it, please.
Rejoice in the Lord always.
Rejoice in the Lord always.
And again, I say rejoice.
Let your moderation be known unto all men that the Lord is at hand.
Be careful
for nothing,
but in everything
by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving,
let your request
be made known unto the Lord. So it says, be careful for nothing. What that basically means is don't be over anxious about your life. Don't be over anxious about the things that you're facing. And that's one of the things that we tend to do as human beings. We're very anxious about what's going on in our lives, our financial situation or our health situation. The Lord tells, let's give it to the Lord. Lord, I want you to take this from, be anxious for nothing, it says. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests made known unto the Lord, unto God. Now what that means is, not just in the things that I'm a little bit confused about, or in the things that I don't know about, I make my requests made known to the Lord, or I pray about those things, but it says in everything, by prayer and supplication. Now what that means to us is that all my life, as I'm getting up in the morning, and it may seem like some folks want to say, Brother Darrell, that's a little bit too much. That's going a little bit too far. But this is what the Bible says. In everything, pray about everything is what it's saying in essence. Pray about it because some of the things that you think you know, you really don't know. Some of the things that you thought as you have processed it out and you've thought about it and you've gone all the way to the end, and what we tend to do, what we feel wisdom is I look at a situation and I can project what is going to be if I follow this course. Well, we've done that and we thought we would end up on a certain course, and that's not the course that we ended up on at all. It seemed like the logical thing to do at the beginning, but as we progressed on, we found out that it wasn't very logical and it was a foolish thing for us to do, and we gained some damage as a result of that. So when we do these things, what we're to do, we're to say, Lord, have mercy on me. Give me a clarity and understanding of what I am to do in everything. I'm praying about it. And as I'm praying about it, what happens is the Lord may direct me in a way that doesn't seem quite as logical to me now. But when we got to the end, we see that the Lord has a way, has a hidden wisdom that seems foolish to man, but it makes a whole lot of sense when you get to the end. So when you got to the end and it's been projected that you know that this was the course that God wanted you to take, you got down to the end and you found out, you know what? It wasn't so bad after all. This is just what I should have done. Had I gone in the route that I thought was logical, it would not have worked. So it says here, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto the Lord. Lord, here's the end result. This is what I would like to accomplish when it's all over. And the Lord says, all right, this is how you do it. You're workers together with God. Remember, we just had a lesson on that. We're workers together with God. God has an ability to see the end from the beginning. So it is in my best interest to be yoked with Him, to talk to Him, to ask Him at the beginning of my situations, Lord, help me as I get to the end. Help me to make the right course. And the Lord will do that. All right? You with me? All right? Read, please.
And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding.
The peace of God, it passes all understanding. It shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
This is why it says, don't be anxious for anything. If you have the peace of God, now I know we're human beings. And I know that there are going to be things that we get a little bit, we tend to get, or we're tempted to get, or we actually have gotten, anxious about. But the Lord is telling us here, take it to the Lord. Pray about it. Lay it on the altar before the Lord, and the Lord will do something about it. He said, the peace of God, which passes, I don't even understand why I'm at peace with this situation, we say. We've all been in those kind of situations. I know that God has done something for me because I'm at peace with my surroundings. I'm at peace with everything that seemed like it's falling apart, but I know that God is going to take care of it, that peace that passes understanding. And somebody walks up to you and say, well, why are you smiling? And all these things that are happening to you, why are you smiling? I don't understand why I'm smiling either, but I do know that God has helped me in this situation. Saints, this is what the gospel message is all about. The gospel message is that there is peace, not after the storm only, but in the midst of the storm. There is peace in the midst of it. While I'm going through all the turmoil, while I'm dealing with all the things that I'm dealing with, and I don't want to deal with it, there is peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding, shall keep my heart and mine through Christ Jesus, through God. All right, read.
Finally,
now this is the final thing that he wants us to understand. But finally, brethren, after I've given you all of this understanding, all this instruction, this is what I want you to do. Whatsoever things are true.
Whatsoever things are
honest.
Whatsoever things are just.
Whatsoever. Okay, so it says, whatsoever things are true.
Yes.
Honest.
Yes.
Whatsoever things are just.
Yes. Whatsoever things are pure.
Pure.
Whatsoever things are lovely.
Lovely.
Whatsoever things are of good report.
Good report.
If there be any virtue.
Virtuous.
And if there be any praise.
Praise.
Think on these things.
So that is to be active, not passive. This is what I want you to do. Active.
Thank you, Lord.
Is that right? For some reason when you get up here and you start writing, it's a little different than writing on a sheet of paper. All right, so this is what we tend to do in our thought life, is we tend to be passive in what we think about. The things that are coming, what do you, when you listen to the news, is it generally a good report? No, but we are concerned about what the economy is going to be like. What do we do about that? How do we have peace about the economy? Is my retirement okay? We pray about it, we give it to the Lord, and we think the good report. God has the ability to make my retirement okay, or to give me what I need in the future. And we are to trust the Lord. The Lord doesn't want us to trust President Obama or whoever else is going to be president. The Lord doesn't want us to trust the politician. He wants us to trust Him. And so he allows these kind of calamities, he allows these kind of things that go on from time to time in our lives for us to come to a place that we understand you've got to trust God in the midst of it all. All right? So this is why he's, before he says all of this, what to think on, he tells us don't be anxious about the economy. You are to pray for those that are in leadership positions. You are to pray for yourself. You are to follow a course of action that the Lord gives you, and you don't have to be anxious about what's going to happen if this person is elected or if that person is elected. The Lord has it in his hands. All right? So it says, he tells us that what happens, and what I want us to bring out, is we tend to be passive with our thought life. So when we hear it on the news, we tend to take it and we just tend to believe it rather than praying about it. When you hear those evil reports on the news, you know what it is for us to do, saints of God? It is for us. It is a call to prayer. Lord, have mercy on those folks over in Iran. Because let me tell you, they're saying that America is responsible for killing the nuclear scientists and all that kind of thing. All of this turmoil that is in the world, I don't know who's responsible for it, but all this turmoil that is in the world, don't think it's going to stay over there in Iran. Don't think that it's not going to spill over here somewhere to us that are innocent. What is it for us to do? It is a call to prayer for you and I to say, Lord, have mercy on America. My wife and I were just talking about it. Our nation is a relatively young nation, and it has risen to the ranks that it has risen to simply because, to some great level, we founded it on biblical and scriptural principles to some degree. Now, we have gravitated away from God. We're taking him out of the foundation. And let me tell you, if you take him out of the foundation of this nation, there is no way, no other thing for it to do but collapse. All right? So, saints, let me tell you, the scripture says you're the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its savor, wherewith will it be salted? It doesn't have to be a lot of folks, but let me tell you, one man, one woman that is completely given over to the Lord can do something unimaginable in the world. We can pray and we can ask the Lord to hold things at bay. And do you know what? The Lord will hear and answer our prayer. If Elijah can pray and he said, don't rain for the space of 3.5 years, and he says it, and he prays again and it rains, do you know that we can pray? Who is Elijah? A man of like passions as you and I are. But that man had a relationship with the Lord. You and I must also have a relationship with the Lord. And listen, what he put that in the Bible for us to understand that it's not just for Elijah. It's not just for the folks of old time ministers and whatnot. It's for me, it's for you. Now, we have a lot more to fight against than they did. I believe. Now, maybe if they were here, and they say, in the context of where we live, you don't have any more to fight against than we did. Maybe that's true. But for the sake of this argument here, I want to say that they didn't have things that were constantly barrages of information that they had to process all the time. We have to process more information in one day, generally speaking, than most of them 100, 200 years ago processed in probably 5 or 6, if not their lifetime. We can get into an airplane today and I can be way across the world in 24 hours or in another country in a few hours with a whole another set of things that I have to process in my mind. All right, so what we have to understand in the midst of all of this, as we are processing what goes on the radio, what comes on television, what's over the internet, the billboards, the media and various facets of their existence, what we have to process is we tend to be a little passive in what we receive. If they tell us this, then we just accept it almost as true. But he says here, whatsoever things are true. You think on these things. It is an activation. It's active. We are to process in our mind, and we're to ask the Lord, Lord, give me the ability to think like you think. Give me the ability not to be passive and just let anything, my mind just wander wherever it wants to wander. Folks, you get into trouble when you let your mind wander. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't believe that there's very many people in this audience that's more imaginative than I am. I have a vivid imagination. I can see things. I can picture things. I can have an understanding. But what did the scripture say? Let's turn to that. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and talk a little bit about imaginations. 10 and 3. If you have it, read it, please. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Okay, casting down imaginations. Okay, every high thing. High things, all right? High things that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Every thought. Every thought. How many thoughts? The good thoughts or the bad thoughts? We just bring in the good thoughts with... The bad thoughts, the things that we shouldn't be thinking about and we know we shouldn't be thinking about, we're to captivate those, right? It says every thought. And there's a reason that it says every thought. And we need to understand that there is a thing, I don't know what they do. I don't know exactly what it's called. I think it's called a writer. But what they do in Congress is that there is a bill that is passed, and then there is something at the very end that kind of rides on it. If you pass the bill, you pass this thing too. And this thing, they don't want you to know about. They don't want you to know about that they have pork spending or whatever they call it. They don't want you to know that they have just given one congressman $5 million or $25 million to build a bridge to nowhere, whatever it is. All right, but that is how they got the bill passed. He says, I am not going to sign on to this unless you give me $25 million to build this bridge. And so they stick it down in the bottom. Nobody reads it. And so when it passes, everything else, when the main bill passes that they focus on, and then down in the fine print, this passes along with it. That's part of the deal. Do you realize that that's how the enemy does thoughts? Do you realize that there are some good thoughts that maybe there are some decent things that you need to think about, but right under in the fine print, there is something that we didn't understand quite. We didn't really realize that went along with it. And when we pass the initial thought, we pass that one right along with it. So it says, what does it say? It says to bring in every thought. We do not let our minds just wander wherever it wants to wander. It can't just go anywhere that it wants to go. Now, I'm not saying that we cannot have an imagination, but we are asked the Lord, Lord, sanctify my imagination. Because we can imagine some things. What did the scripture say over in Genesis about the world before, right before Noah said? Every imagination in their heart was only evil continually. So there are some good imaginations. You can look at the clouds. I remember as a child laying on the grass and looking at the clouds, and I can just imagine giraffes and elephants and lions and tigers and all kind of other stuff that nobody else could. What are you talking about? I can't even see. There it is, right there. You could have a vivid imagination. Nothing wrong with that. I don't want you to get the wrong impression. But there are some things that we need to be very active whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, a good report. If there be any virtue, think on these things. So we're to actively engage our mind in the right things to think about. Do you realize there was a situation that I was in not too terribly long ago where a person misunderstood something. And they had thought, and they were actually angry at me because they thought something that was wrong. And so I went to this person. I found out, so to speak, through the grapevine, and it was my responsibility that I felt the other person could have cleared it up because they were a part of it. But they left it there, and I had to go to this person and I say, listen, you've got it wrong. What you're saying is not true. This is what happened. And so consequently, we could have in the imaginations of our mind, we could think that our brother has done something against us that's not true. And so we're thinking something that is not true, and it is causing us a problem down in the depths of our hearts. So if you have an ought against your brother, you know what your responsibility is to do? Is to go to your brother. You know why you're to go to your brother? You're to go to your brother because what you're thinking may not be just. It may not be pure. It may be corrupted in some kind of a way. It may be untrue. You're not having lovely thoughts about it because you have an ought against it. So this is very clearly telling us what our responsibility is to do according to the Scripture in order to keep our lives right. But let me tell you, if you have an unlovely thought about somebody and something that they did and something that they should have done, let me tell you, that unlovely thought can turn into bitterness and it can affect you and your relationship with God, not just your relationship with your brother. So it says, go to your brother. And you don't go to him with your hands on your hip and say, listen, I know you did this. You go to him in a way to be reconciled.
Yes.
I want to be reconciled. I want to make certain I have an understanding. Now, what do you do if that person says yes? That's exactly what I said. I mean every word of it. I know you're hurting. But build a bridge and get over it. Yeah. Now, what if they say that? You wish you hadn't gone to him, don't you? Let me tell you something. Oh, let me tell you. I know who I'm talking about. You know what? There is still a remedy. There's a solution to that problem too. You have to, if you got to love your enemy, you got surely you got to love folks that do things maliciously. Again, what did it say? Scripture tells us to do that. We can find a place to pray. Now, most of the time, it's very few people that will do just what I said. What I mean by that is, most of the time, there's a misunderstanding, isn't it? Most of the time, we could back off and they say, no, you misunderstood me. That's not what I meant. Or I did mean it, but would you forgive me for saying that? And we reconcile. And so, saints, this is what we must do. This is what the Lord requires and desires of us. So we have to take our minds and we have to pull our minds in. And whatsoever thing, is it true? If it's not true and it's just a rumor, then what am I doing? What am I to do with rumors? Gossip, what am I to do with that? I don't even know if it's true. And if it can't be true, don't think about it. If you can't verify what he said, what they said, it came from a good source. And I've been in situations where I passed along things that weren't true. Help us, Lord, help us. All right, so it says, so bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. All right, I want to read another scripture. It says, 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Let's read that. 1 Peter 1, verse 13.
Wherefore?
Gird up the loins of your mind. Okay, so we're talking about thinking. Think on these things. There are certain things that we can think on. There are certain things that God is saying to us. I don't want you to think about these things because they're not edifying. So it says, gird up the loins of your mind.
Be sober. And hope to the end.
For the grace. Grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You want the Lord to reveal himself to you, don't you? All of us do. Lord, reveal yourself to me. And how does that happen? That happens generally in the thought, in the mind. And so this is why the scripture says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Because the revelation of God happens in our mind. There is, in one sense, it is a spiritual thing and it is a mental thing at the same time. I want you to understand that. So the enemy is going to fight us to prevent us from being able to comprehend what thus saith the Lord. And so when he fights us in our mind, what does he do? He has us to exalt our thoughts. The scripture that we just read about, talked about, exalting every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Do you realize that what we are dealing with in today's world is a group of people who have exalted their thought process to be equal with God's? I talked to a young man not too long ago. He did a little work for me. And I'm going to bring the Lord in there some kind of a way. And he's a Buddhist. He said, well, you know, in all due respect, I just am not I'm not part of the Christian faith. I said, oh, really? What are you? See, I've never met somebody that just says that they're just an all-out atheist. Or, well, maybe I have. But I never met a Buddhist to have interaction, that close interaction with it. So he's a Buddhist, and he has his way of thinking. I said, well, you know, the problem that I have with this is he didn't believe that God created the world. I said, well, and he's talking about the evolution. I said, well, where did the first little amoeba come from? Well, it's an intelligent man, very intelligent man, knew far more than I did, but he was wrong. It wasn't true. All right? So he began to explain it to me, and after he explained that, how they all bumped together and all that, and I said, but where did that come from? And he explained it a little bit more, and I said, you know what? Evolution is one of the most foolish things that I think really a man can believe, that it started without God. It's not true. It's not honest. If they're really looking at themselves, it's not honest. They're not honest. The reason that folks want to move God out of the picture or recreate him to be something that they want him to be is because they don't want to live by his standards. There's something that they've come across that they don't want to do. And so they recreate in their mind. We'll talk about that too. Let's go to first chapter of Romans, the 19th verse. Let's read that. Romans 1 verse 19. That which may be known of God
is manifest in them.
God has shown it unto them. Do you realize that the Lord appears to every man? It would not be righteous if the Lord did not appear to every man and in some way make it very clear that I am God. And I want you to serve me. He's done it to us. He put conviction in our heart. We were doing things that we knew weren't right. Was it right? Not right because my parents said it wasn't right. Was it not right because society said it wasn't right? That wasn't what the problem is. Because nowadays, the society is saying that a lot of things are okay that my conscience says is not. And there are a lot of things that people do today that it would be okay for, in the light of the general population of people, for me to do, but my conscience, there is something about this God inside of me, the seed of God inside of us that pricks us and touches us and says to us, that's not right, and you know it's not right.
Yes.
And so it doesn't have anything to do with society. It has everything to do with this God that speaks to me and reveals himself to me and makes himself known to me. He tells me that what I'm doing is wrong and nobody knows it. Nobody has to know. How many folks knew when God was dealing with you, laying on your bed in the middle of the night, tears streaming on your pillow, and you know that if the Lord were to come today, then you're not ready? Who told you that? The preacher, your mom, your dad, the society? No. God himself holds that responsibility. He said, I'm going to make certain that you know that I'm talking to you and I'm going to reveal myself to you and I want you to think about it.
Amen.
Because it's true.
Yeah,
it's true. It's honest. It's just. It's pure. It's lovely. You know, why wouldn't somebody want to live for the Lord? It's the best thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah.
Oh, I have trials. I have tests. I have problems in my life, but I had them before I gave my heart to the Lord. And now, maybe they're more intense. Yes, maybe sometimes that they are, but there's always somebody to hold my hand. It's a good report. It's the gospel message.
Yeah.
And it's virtuous, and there's praise in me serving the Lord. I love serving him.
Thank you.
I made it up in my mind. I ain't going back. I don't care what happens. By the grace of God, if you'll have me, Lord, I'll be with you all the days of my life. I will. I made that covenant with the Lord, and you know what? He hasn't let me down. Not once.
Right.
Now, he hasn't done some things that I thought I wanted him to do and I thought he should have done then. But I look back on the opposite side. I look at back after it has happened in retrospect and I say, you know what, Lord? You were far wiser than I was. Thank you for not doing what I asked you to do. But doing what I needed. You know what? We do our children like that sometimes, don't we? Can I have this ice cream? Not until you eat dinner. He didn't do it. All right, where were we? 20th verse, read please.
For the invisible
things of him from the creation of the world were clearly seen, been understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. When you look at you stand on the Rockies or see the glaciers or see the Mount Everest or all these things that God is, our tree, the redwoods up in California. You look at that. What do you see? You see the majesty of God. It's awesome. It makes you, leaves you in awe that you are saying that this evolved over millions and millions of years and there wasn't an intelligent design behind it. That makes no sense to me. That God, but God is, these invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. They're clearly seen that there is this wind that we're breathing in. We can't see it, but we can feel it. And they can distinguish it, oxygen from nitrogen and from all the other gases and whatnot. They can distinguish it, and they know that there is something invisible that keeps us alive. But they've never been able to make us see it. Now, this invisible thing from the creation is a type of God. The water that we have, no color, no shape, but it is the sustainer of our lives. This is representing in one way or another, and every living creature has to have it. It is telling us that there is a God that is moving like the wind. We can't see Him, but it is keeping things alive. There is a God that we, in order for us to have life, we have to take Him in. We have to take this air in. We have to breathe, drink this water in. And He is the water of life, isn't He? So He gives us the analogies of Him being the water of life. He is all and in all. And this is what we understand. So that's clearly seen. If you look, if you think. Don't talk about evolution to me. Somebody said, you know, I believe in the Big Bang Theory. That God said and bang, it happened. I believe that Big Bang Theory. But I know that these things are clearly seen if we open our eyes and ask the Lord to give us a clear revelation, right? All right, so He shows us His eternal power and Godhead. Okay, because, now read. We're at without excuse.
Because that
when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. They weren't thankful. Became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. All right, let's talk about this for a moment. The Lord is clearly shown this to them. They have a clear understanding, but they said because when they knew God, so here it is, they're coming from a clear knowledge of God. They know God. But then what does it say? They glorified Him not as God. Now let me tell you, all of us, well at least I can speak for myself, there have been some things in my life that I did not want to give up for the sake of my salvation or for the sake of living for the Lord. There are some things in my life that the Lord touched on, and I thought that they were okay anyway. All right? Now, the Lord comes to me, He talks to us, and all of us comes to a place that we have to say, Lord, okay, You don't want me to do this. Well, what's wrong with it? Everybody else is doing it. We're just like children, aren't we? That's why we call children of God. Because we're just like children. Well, Lord, everybody else is doing it. Well, I ain't talking about everybody else. What did my mama say? Did everybody else jump off a bridge? You don't jump off a bridge. Your mama ever said that? All right, well, the Lord said, let everybody do what they're going to do. But I'm talking to you. This is an individual, personal walk with me. And so there is something that I don't want You to do. And so when we come to that place, we've got to find something that satisfies and soothes the itch, you might say. So we create a God in our minds. They glorified Him not as the God of all creation, but they're saying, you know, I want to worship something, so I'm going to create this thing in my mind that I can worship, and it's like me. It's four-footed beast. It's like a creeping thing, something that I can have a little control over. And or something like a man that we can adjust some things. We do that if we're not careful. People do it all the time. Every day, somebody's doing it right now. People are doing it right now as we speak, making adjustments to God. And so what happens is they take this perfect God that we have to think right about God. We have to have the foundation of our thought process in a Christian walk has to be our foundation has to be right. The way we think about, if I thought God was Buddha or equal to Buddha or equal to some of the Hindu gods or equal to whatever whatever other kind of gods that there are, if I thought that way, I would respond differently. I would respond to him differently. There would be some things that I would do because I wanted to do. Things that I didn't want to do, I wouldn't do because of how I've created him in my mind. Now, bear with me here. So what they did is they changed him. So it said, and changed. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They thought they were pretty slick about it and what they were doing, but they really were foolish. And they may not know that they're foolish until they get to the end, but it says here, they changed and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So God said, in essence, so this is why we said think. Think. Think on these things. Think on if it's pure, if it's honest, if it's just. Generally speaking, this change happened because there was some dishonesty there.
That's right.
There was something about them that they did not want to hear what the true God had to say. God thinks differently than we do.
Yes.
We think that he thinks like us, but he doesn't. And there are some things, you know, there are some paradoxical things in the scriptures, some things that the normal human mind would not take in. So in other words, that the way up is down. The way to exaltation in the scripture is humility. The way to have life is by dying. These are paradoxical things that doesn't make sense in the human mind. But there are plenty of things that are clearly visible for us to see that really is the truth of the matter. And so we have to have this mind that Christ has to be able for us to comprehend this. So he says they change it into the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like incorruptible man, birds, four-footed beasts, creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed. All right, so they changed God, the image of God. These folks changed the image of God. They changed his image and then they changed the truth of God. It's not true. So we're talking about whatsoever things are true, it's honest, good report. So they, in essence, take that which is right and make it wrong. Right now, have you noticed that we have to be more tolerant in our generation than we ever have with other religions? All right. Now, I'm not saying that everybody doesn't have a right to believe what they want to believe. But let me tell you, there's something that's happening. This is what we need to be praying about. There's something that is happening in our nation that is trying to equate the gospel of Jesus Christ with every other religion. That is not true.
Amen.
And we cannot accommodate that. Now, I believe in some things. I believe that everybody has a right to believe what they want to believe. But it should not affect what I believe. All right, and what happens is there are a few things I sense is happening in our generation. There is clearly an agenda. If you read on down here, what does it say? What does it say? Read on down there, please.
To change the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen.
Serve the creature more than the creator. So, in other words, what we can do, even in a church service, we can lift up and exalt a preacher just because he's a good preacher. Or somebody that sings in the choir, or a choir, or a church. This is the creature that we're exalting, and not the Christ, not the Creator. And so we can exalt these things, and instead of worshiping God, we're worshiping people, and we don't even realize it. We haven't even thought that far in advance yet. All right, keep reading, please.
For this cause,
God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, man with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense
of their error which was meet.
And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Let me tell you something. Have you noticed that there is a clear war for the way we think about the things of God? There is that which represent. There is a spirit. Let's put it this way: a spirit of Antichrist that is very strong in the world. Very strong. Anything that represents Christ, it's against it.
Yeah.
So we have an agenda, and there are some very clear agendas today in our society. One agenda is a gay agenda. It's very clear and very blatant and pushing to gain acceptance in our society. And the Bible speaks about it. It just talked about that right there. It is Antichrist. And what we always have that is thrown in front of us is same-sex marriage.
Yeah.
This is going to be wrong no matter what our society says about it. It is not natural. It's not according to the Word of God. Now, Brother Darrell, there you go. Am I telling the truth? And we can't accept it. Now, we love the people. We're not going to throw rocks at them and all that, even though they did it, no doubt, in the Old Testament. But we're not going to do that. We're going to pray for them. We're going to love them. But let me tell you, one of the things that is so prevalent in our society is divorce. That is, the enemy is fighting so hard. Have you noticed how many marriages the enemy is fighting to break up? That's the spirit of Antichrist. We need to pray against it. Because what does a husband and a wife represent? They represent Christ and the church. So let's go against that institution of marriage. And when we go against that institution of marriage, this is why you think, saints. This is why I think on these things and have a clear understanding of what's going on in our society so we can be better prepared to pray against it. This thing is very clear. And so what we say, we see, folks, listen, one of the hardest things to see is a people going through marital issues. And as a pastor and counselor, I know what they're, I see the hurt in their voices and in their hearts and the pain and whatnot. But let me tell you, if you got a marriage, you fight for your marriage. You fight for it. You fight for your wife. You fight for your husband. You fight whatever it takes. You do it. And let me tell you, because the enemy not only wants that person, but he wants your children as well. You fight. You do whatever it takes. You get down in God and you ask the Lord, Lord, give me the grace that I need to fight for my marriage. All right? All right? And then they got this marriage, the same-sex marriage. That is an abomination to the Lord. But it's Antichrist. So we're going to say, I don't even want to write that on the board. Y'all got the point. All right? It's Antichrist. It is a spirit of Antichrist. It is going against Christ. The very foundation. And so what happens is, what tends to happen with all of this, these things that are all right, and it's okay nowadays for people to divorce, get remarried, as far as the world is concerned, as far as the scripture is concerned. That's not the case. But here's the point. What the agenda is that we tolerate. The first thing that we do is we learn to be tolerant. And we tolerate things, and let me tell you, there is a level of tolerance that we should have. We should not go and get in folks' face and bash them for whatever they do. We should pray for them, all right? So we tolerate. And then after we've done this, we slowly and subtly keeps getting in our face, and we tolerate it to the point that we start to accommodate. Oh, come on. We accommodate, and there's laws that are in the Congress and whatnot to accommodate our tolerance, all right? And whatever it may be. That is wrong, but I want us to understand that we're not to be passive. We're to be active in the way that we process it, in the way that we ask the Lord about these things and our thought process. And if we're not careful, the next thing, the third step, we'll put 1, 2, 3, is to participate. So we are part of it now. So now that I'm a part of it, then I can't lay judgment on it at all. Saints, this is what's happening. This is what the enemy is doing, and this is what we have to clearly understand. Lord, I need you to help me to think in an active way, not be passive about the things that are coming my way. Whatsoever things are true, that's what I think on. If they're honest, just. And then what they do, they always give you this sad story, and when you come to the point of tolerance, you always give a sad story of something that person is caught between a rock and a hard place, and the only thing that they can do is this. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed how all the time that we have these, and I'm almost through. I'm going to make myself almost through. We have these at the political debates and whatnot, they always have a moral issue. Always have a moral issue that shouldn't even be part of politics, as far as I'm concerned. But saints, if we're not praying, then they're going to make some decisions that are going to affect us. All right? All right, let's see. We did one scripture that says, in 1 Peter said, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. I want to read a definition of gird. To get ready, to prepare yourself for conflict or vigorous activity. All right? It also put belt around somebody, to put a girdle or a belt around yourself or another person, to fasten something on, to secure something to yourself with a belt, strap, or a girdle. So So what that means is we don't just let our minds wander. We don't just let them go in any kind of direction. But let me tell you, if we do that, then we tend to go in the direction that we think. Our personality is a composite of how you think. It's your philosophy in life. You search for meaning, understanding, and truth. How you think is how you are. The scripture says in Proverbs, it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You are what you think. You cannot rise above what you think, how you think. If you don't think, you ever heard the saying, if you think you can, you can. If you think you can't. Either way, it's true. What you think about God affects you. What do you think about God's ability? Whether or not God, this is why I believe in some ways we need to ask the Lord, Lord, help us to have the right thought process about you. And I believe if we begin to say, Lord, give me the right thought so I can have the foundation of thinking right about you, then that's the foundation of everything else. That's where the foundation of my faith. I believe that God is whatever, ... I believe this. When I believe that, then I respond and react to the level of my belief, to the level of my thinking about God. You remember the man with the talents? One man, one had two, one had five, and they went and they did what they were supposed to do, and they doubled them, and one man had one talent, and he went and they buried it, and he had a wrong thought process of God, didn't he? He said, I knew you were an austere man. I knew that you were hard and you reap where you didn't sow. You did all these things. So here's what you had. And what did God say? Well, if you knew that that's who I was, you should have at least done this. So this man had a wrong thought process, and God really became what the man processed in his mind that he was, an austere and a hard man. But if the man had said, you know, the Lord knew the man didn't have as much as the other people. That's why he only gave him one talent. But he could have taken what God gave him and multiplied it and gotten two or one and a half or one and a quarter or one and an eighth. He didn't even do that. Lord, help us. We'll do that if we're not careful. All right. Now, let's go to Ephesians 4 and 23. I think we'll use that for closing. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So in other words, we can't be, you know, when you get saved, in order for you to have, I believe that this is why people are not as successful in their spiritual lives as they desire to be. You have to have a new mind. You've got to think differently. You've got to take on, as the scripture says, the mind of Christ. And you've got to think like him. You've got to think that when the trials are coming against you, that that's coming to make you stronger. Well, most people think that I can't take it anymore, Lord. This is too hard for me. And the Lord is saying, I'm doing it to make you stronger. So you have to have a renewing of your mind. And so we have to ask the Lord, Lord, give me a change in my mind. Give me a new mind. Change out the old one and the way that I've thought in times past. I want you to change that. I want you to give me a new mind so that I can think like you. But the scripture says, in Isaiah, it says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. I don't think like you. The Lord says, my ways are not your ways. And we have a tendency to believe that surely the Lord thinks like I think. Or, you know, probably if we didn't think that way sometime, we wouldn't do what we did. We wouldn't have done something as foolish as what we did. But I want to go back to it. Think on these things. This is not a passive thing. Our thought life cannot be passive. The devil can't just throw some thought in your mind. And I want to say this to us. Sometimes the enemy just keeps bombarding us with a thought. He knows that if he keeps hitting something in the same point all the time, that it's going to break eventually. Or you can take a big boulder and you just keep hitting it over the years, it's going to crack. And so the devil wants to take his thoughts, implant them in your mind as though they're yours. He knows the cadence of your thought. He knows how you think. He knows everything about your thought life. And so what he does, he inserts his thoughts. And sometimes we're praying, Lord, help me take this thought out of my, help me not to think like this. And it's not even you thinking like that. It's the devil presenting the thought to you. And so this is why it says, whatsoever things are true, honest, lovely, pure, true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, any virtue, any praise, think actively on these things. Pray for me. Let us stand. There may be someone that has to be dark prayer. Or the altar, someone to pray for you, pray with you.